To the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 5 in the New Testament, for our sermon reading, our text for this evening. 1 John chapter 5, we'll read from verse 1 and we'll read to the end of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Amen, and may the Lord bless us at reading of his own precious and infallible word. Our text for this evening is found in verse 4, at the latter end of the verse. This is the victory, says John, that overcometh the world, even our faith. The world conquering power of faith. I wonder to myself sometimes what will mark this century that we are in now. Each and every century seems to have its own mark. There are revolutions, social revolutions, there are industrial revolutions, and there are wars and upheavals throughout the centuries. Each one is different, each one has its own mark. And judging by these first 20, these well, formative years in this century, I wonder to myself, will the mark of this century, will it be unbelief? Or maybe perhaps we'll see, maybe God in his sovereign grace will come, and we will see maybe the century will be marked by another mighty reformation, a returning in the church and in the nation to the word of God. Maybe perhaps it will be marked by another great and mighty revival. Who knows? The Lord alone does. Maybe it will be the end of the tyranny of dogmatic unbelief and reason. An end perhaps of the idolatry of the material and the worship of the senses. But then of course we're faced with the threat of yet a third world war. As missiles and bullets fly, Ukraine and Russia, and in the Middle East, Iran warming up to war with Israel. And then within our own nation, of course, well, we have the rise of Islam. Will this century will be marked by the ascendancy of Islam? Will that become the national religion in the United Kingdom in this century? What will be the mark of this century? But all this belongs to the world, as John calls it. The world in which, of course, we inhabit, we live and move and have our being. But John, he tells us that faith that is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, implants new life into our souls. Gives to us the power, the authority that is to become children of God. He tells us in his gospel in John 1 verse 12 that those who believe, those who receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith, are given the power to become children of God. They're given the power to love God, to love their neighbor. They're given the power to obey God's commandments. But he tells us in chapter 4 and verse 10, it's God's love that comes first of all. He must come to us. The initiative is always with God. He comes, he reveals his love to us, and we reciprocate love to him. This is the gospel. This is his reconciling love. This is John 3:16. This is God's call from his throne even this evening. Be ye reconciled to God through the blood of his Son, the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God and the peace of God. It happens. It happens. It happens to everyone. All who are born of God, says John. This is the outcome of being born of God. That old natural contempt that's in us from conception and birth, that contempt for God is gone, and to our amazement we find ourselves even desiring righteousness. And we are given, says John, we are given the power to conquer the world. This is the victory, the conquest that overcomes the world, even our faith. But this is John. This is the apostle of love. He wasn't always that. I mean, it's amazing when you consider what he was. I mean, by nature, Jesus, he says in Mark 3 verse 17, he says, John, a son of thunder, he calls him. Boanerges, which means that he was strong, impulsive, harsh, impatient, proud, a contemptuous Jew. That was John. And you can hardly believe that as you read his gospel, as you read his letters. What happened to this man? What brought about this change in him? He was born of God. He was born again. As Jesus says, we must be. It happened to John. More of that later. So under the title, The World Conquering Power of Faith, The Opposition to Faith, The Character of Faith, and The Victory Promised to Faith. First of all, the opposition to faith. The world, John tells us, is anti-Christian. And that's why we have the rise in our society, in our nation today, of anti-Christian legislation. Never been any different. There's enmity there in this world that John speaks of. He speaks much of the world. He uses this word again and again in his letters. It's not too far to say this world is demonic. Look at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness under the sway of the evil one, Satan the devil. He's its ruler. He's its prince. It's a demonic world. Fallen, unmade by man's sin, and now it's a world opposed to God and in service to Satan and to sin. Angels who have lost their first place, and now man, by natural generation, one after the other, every single man, woman, and child born into this world by natural generation, conceived in sin, born in sin, and live and die in sin, but by the grace of God coming to us, causing us to be born again and to believe in Jesus. This world, mankind in its totality, men, women, children, weapons of unrighteousness. This is the world that John speaks of. This is the world. This is all the world. This is the world in the totality of humanity. It includes the world's, all the world's endeavors in the sphere of the family, in the sphere of the state, governments, in far off lands, our own government, in the realm of business, in the centuries as they come and go, the civilizing of the nations, the degenerating of them back and to up and down, they go, empires and institutions raised up, even religions raised up by men. Even John Paul tells us in Romans 8, even the very earth itself is cursed because of man's sin and groans, awaiting the renewal of all things. All this is included in the word that John uses here, world. It's the result of man's sin. It's the result of Adam's sin, one man's sin. Cause and effect. You take away the sin and you're left with a beautiful world that God created. What happened? What intervened? Man's sin. That's the cause. And the effect is this evil world, this demonic world that John speaks about. The world in totally lives out of one principle, one spirit, one goal, opposition to its maker, its lawgiver, and its judge. And yet, in spite of that, we have John 3:16. God so loved the world. And the world there refers not just to mankind. The word there refers to the entirety of God's creation. There's a holy stubbornness, you might say, in God. This is my creation that I made. Yeah? This is mine. And he is going to have it back. He is going to renew it. He is going to bring in a new heaven and a new earth in which will dwell only righteousness. And out of my creation, the entirety of my creation, whosoever believeth in him, in the Son of God, shall not perish, shall not die in their sin, shall not be lost forever, but shall have eternal life through faith in the Son of God, having been born of God. But out of Christ, out of faith in Christ, not having been born again, our hearts, our natures, our consciences testify to these things that John brings before us here this evening. We have a conscience within that testifies. Your conscience testifies with me what I'm saying here this evening, that you're a morally accountable creature, accountable to God. conscience. Con with science, knowledge with knowledge that you are an accountable creature, accountable to God, your maker, your lawgiver, and your judge. Your conscience testifies that God has a quarrel with man. And all who do not believe, who are not brought to faith in Jesus Christ, all such shall perish under the terrible, awful wrath of God. Think on it, will you? God and the world at odds with one another. God and the world, mankind at odds, war with one another. The long war against God that began in the Garden of Eden. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The world. Mankind. Yeah? He is powerless. Yeah? He has no existence in himself. Even Satan, the devil, can't exist. He's dependent upon God for his existence. And here is this world that John speaks of, and it's at war against the one upon whom it is dependent for his existence. Because all of it, the material, the spiritual, every part of this world is sustained by the word of his power. He withdraws it. It was just vaporized. And yet man, in his sin, he takes everything that God gives him, all the precious gifts that's given him, skills and crafts, intellect, powers, to do all kinds of wonderful things, invent things. Man takes all that God gives him and he uses it to turn the world into a domain that's ruled by Satan. Again, verse 19. Whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Satan the devil. He is the prince. He is the ruler of this world. Who seeks by violence to overcome God and his kingdom. So we ask ourselves, who will overcome such? Where do we look to for the victory to overcome this wicked evil world? Who do we turn to? Who do we look to? Do we look to one of them out there? Is there one out there that we can look to? Is there some prince? Is there some president? Some prime minister? Some politician? Some philosopher? Is there some one of them that we can look to overcome the world, this evil world? Not a one. Not a one. Because, you see, the world's not just outside of man, it's not just around man, it's in man, it's in us all, by natural generation. So we're conceived and born, with the world in us, in our minds, in our wills, in our affections. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says that, well, talking about Christians, of course, those who have been born again, that once before that, they walked in the course of this world, in the principles of this world, in its opposition to God, its maker, in its cultures. But this world is not of the Father, says John. It's not of God. Not as it is now. And of course, as we look outside, as we look to them, well, there's who is there that stands against the world? Who is there but myself who denounces the world? Huh? All serve the world willingly, this evil world, with every God-given gift. They serve the world, they serve sin. And so all men with the world, guilty, impure, and damnable. And on the path to destruction, we are told. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world is passing away. It's going to be dissolved in fervent heat. Who will deliver us from this evil world? Who will enable us to overcome this evil world? with all its sin, with all its guilt that we are all involved in, who will enable us to overcome? John answers the question for us. He says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, he, the man or woman born of God, and that believeth, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 1, who is born of God. But secondly, the character of faith, this faith of which John speaks that overcomes the world. Well, he says it's of God, born of God, regeneration, and on the back of regeneration, well, comes the faith, comes up, which is necessary to overcome the world. I mean, John, we've spoken about John and the transformation in John. I mean, most people in reading the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they make the assumption, you know, that the 12 disciples, that they all believed all through those records, that they believed. Well, they didn't. They didn't believe until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John didn't. In John chapter 20 and verse 8, he himself tells us when it happened to him. Yeah. He and Peter, they come running to the empty tomb to see, they've heard the news that Christ is risen, and John and Peter are there together in the empty tomb, and he sees the very first evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. He sees the grave clothes, and he tells us himself at the end of verse 8, he says, he saw and he believed. That's when John believed. That's when it happened for him. For Peter, well, it was much later. He testifies himself in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what made the difference. That's what, if you like, sealed the deal for them. The resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. It happened to John. It happened to Peter. It happens to all kinds of people. Mysterious. Mystical even. Born of God. I read the other day, or heard the other day, of a man in the United States of America. He was a professor in a university in the USA. He was an atheist, a hardened atheist, and a communist. And he lectured in this university, but God saved him. He was born of God. And his students who were atheists as well, and some of them even worse, they began to mock him mercilessly, and they would point a finger at him and they would say to him, how can you possibly believe that nonsense? His answer, he said, it happened to me. It happened to me. God came to him. He was born again. He believed in Jesus, the Son of God. Salvation is of the Lord, you see. It's of the Lord. Sovereignly of the Lord. There's a universe, a Westminster Seminary, one of the professors there, a good time back now, he's gone now, Edmund Clowney, one of his students phoned him one Saturday evening and he asked him the question. He said, Professor, what would you say, just give me one single verse, what summarizes the entire Bible? He said to him, without any hesitation, he said to him, Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, the end of the verse, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. That was a lesson that Jonah had to learn, and that was a lesson that Israel had to learn. You remember Jonah? The man who fled, who ran away? He gets some terrible bad press. He's called a coward and all sorts. That's rubbish. That's nonsense. Jonah was a type of Christ. He was for Israel. And he knew exactly what God was intending to do with the Assyrians. That's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. That's why he refused to go, because he knows God's going to raise them up to whack Israel, and he's for Israel. So he runs away. He takes a ship. He's cast overboard. Well, you know the story. He's swallowed up by a whale because God's not going to let him away with this. And he's taken into the very depths, into the pits of hell. He's taken down, down, down into that place where he cries, "Only God can get me out of this. Only God can save me. Salvation is of the Lord." And God delivered them from the whale's belly. And he went and preached to Nineveh, and God raised up Nineveh. And just as Jonah feared, that's exactly what God was going to do. He brought the Assyrians to Israel. 185,000 battle-hardened troops arrayed against Israel. And Hezekiah is absolutely beside himself. How are we going to get out of this? Who can deliver us from this horde of battle-hardened troops? And what does he do? Just like Jonah in the whale's belly, he cries out to God, and God delivers Israel. He sends one single angel and 185,000 battle-hardened troops are slain. And Israel is delivered. Salvation is of the Lord. So both Jonah and Israel were brought to the place where only God can deliver us. Their only hope's in God. And when you come to that place, and like Jonah, like Israel, you cry out to him. To be born of God is a sovereign work of God's Holy Spirit. It's something that he does. And he alone does. Man vainly searches for deliverance from his fellow creatures. He looks to politicians, presidents and prime ministers, philosophers. He looks to science. He looks to all kinds, all the creatures of mankind. Who will deliver me from this state in which I'm in? God puts his word before you this evening, the word of his gospel. He sends his servants, he sends his pastor. He sends his pastor to you week by week. And what does he send us to do? He sends his servants, Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open your eyes and turn you from darkness. That's what for. Every Sunday when I'm preaching somewhere, in a church somewhere, I remind myself, what am I being sent for? I'm being sent to open their eyes and turn them from darkness. That's what it means to be born again. Your eyes are open, the eyes of your understanding. The Holy Spirit, he comes and he shines the light into your heart and mind. He switches the light on in your sin-darkened mind. And you get it, you see, I understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. That's the new birth. That's what it means to be born of God. And what are the effect? What's the effect? Well, John tells us. Well, first of all, verse 1, they believe in Jesus. And then in the same verse, well, they love God's people. They love God's children. Yeah? And then, and they keep his, amazing, they begin to keep his commandments. Yeah? His commandments are no longer grievous to them. Well, before it was, you said to them, you know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's boring, they say. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. A call to faith, to trust in their maker, their lawgiver and their judge, but they'll have none of it. Trust in everything and anything but him. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now their eyes are open. Now they see. This is not just restraint, this is protection. This is to protect us from false gods, from idolatry. This is to protect us, to protect human life, our lives even. This is to protect holy matrimony, family life, human sexuality. It's their commandments of love, they're for our protection, for our blessing. There's grace in those commandments. But we never saw it before. But faith comes first. The faith that overcomes the world, verse 1. So you see, it happens. Born of God, believing in Jesus, it happens. But everything and everything happens as a cause. Who? What's the cause? God's the cause, verse 1. Born of God. And given a faith that conquers and delivers, overcomes the world. Is John mocking us? John, are you serious, brother? You see that world out there? You see its power? You see its intellect? You see its military might? You see the resources, the media? And you're saying that we, children of God, we believe in Jesus, that we have the conquest over that entire world? Yes, he says, I am. What are the real issues? Sin, guilt, shame, blame, unholy, death, the inevitability of death and the certainty of God's judgment following. It is appointed unto man once to die. After this then comes the judgment. That's what must be overcome. You tell me. Pray tell me. What branch of science ever saved anyone? Any man, woman or child from any one of these? Huh? What branch of science, of intellect, of the media, any part, any sphere of the world ever saved a man, woman or child from the power of their guilt to stand before God without any fear, with utter confidence, knowing that there's no condemnation for them? What bit of the world's beautiful artistry ever enabled a man, a woman to live and die in comfort? Huh? Tell me. What government do you know of? What president, what prime minister, what state, what government in all the world, in any century you like, changed the hearts of its citizens and brought them into a willing and loving obedience to its dictates and laws? Tell me. All these the world takes and uses to serve and to promote sin. But faith? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us something about faith. If you go back to chapter 11, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only son, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And so it goes on. By faith they forsook Egypt. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. By faith, by faith, by faith, the heroes of the faith. And even all the heroes since then of faith. Covenanters in Scotland, the Killing Times. And it continues even now. Men, women and children in places like Pakistan and India, Iran, hanged, burnt their houses, burnt themselves, burnt alive, because they trust and they believe in Jesus. Faith, Paul tells us, delivers us from the world. Galatians 1 verse 4, who gave Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You see, the Apostle Paul concurs with the Apostle John. It's an evil world. It's a demonic world. And Christ died, his sacrifice, gave himself that we might be delivered from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This present evil world, this from Adam all the way to the very end, is like a mighty river running down. I might have used this before, forgive me if I have, but like the mighty Mississippi in the United States of America. It begins with a trickle up in Minnesota, runs all down through the states, all through the southern states, getting wider and deeper, and all kinds of rubbish and other rivers flowing into it, and then it plunges into the Gulf of Mexico. That's a picture of sin. That's a picture of this world, this evil world. It begins with a trickle with Adam's sin, and it runs through the ages, through the centuries, growing deeper and wider, developing all kinds of human sin and garbage are cast into it, and it runs right to the very end of the age, and then it plunges not into the Gulf of Mexico, but into the damnation of hell. Christ came to deliver us out of that mighty river by his death and resurrection, to deliver us from this present evil world. By faith, by being born again of God, and faith towards Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it's not faith from within. It's not faith that we produce of ourselves. You might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do that. It's not faith from within, it's faith that's of God, verse 1. It's of God, it's all of God. Only what God does lasts, stands the test of eternity. Faith from within, that's the world. That's the world's religion. It has its own religion. Persecuting religion, religious atheism, superstition, if you like, Islam, Rome, and all the cults and sects known to the world, that's the world's religion. That's not faith. That doesn't overcome the world. That supports the world. It doesn't overcome it. Faith that believes, verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Believes in the historical person of Jesus, God's record here, says John, of his Son Jesus Christ. The historical person of Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, who brings grace and truth to us, he and he alone, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by all the miracle signs and wonders that he done, and by his resurrection from the dead. He is faith content. He is faith object. Believing not on him, but believing into him. Not lip faith, not intellectual faith. Heidelberg Catechism tells us what true faith is. It's a certain knowledge, he says, whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word. You might not understand it all, but now, born of God, believing in Jesus, you believe. You trust this is God's word. Every single jot and tittle of it. All the arguments about creation, all the arguments about human sexuality are all gone. What saith the scripture? That's the watch cry. A certain knowledge, an assured confidence, he says, which the Holy Ghost works by the gospel, what we're doing tonight in my heart, that only, not only to others, but to me also, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, and only for the sake of Christ's merits. That's faith. Unshakable, eradicable trust in Jesus Christ, not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the flesh, but verse 1, of God, born of God. And that power translates us into the kingdom of God's love. It becomes a firm foundation under our feet. Now we have rock, granite even, under our feet. This is the evidence, this is the proof of things unseen. And gives us the courage to defy the world and to defy its powers. The power even to rejoice in the midst of its persecutions. In the world ye shall have tribulation, says Jesus, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He has overcome it. And by faith in him, his overcoming is our overcoming. It gives Christians, it gives believers, it gives them the power to sing in prison cells and dungeons. It gives them the power to sing even as they're being burnt alive, slain by this wicked world. It's the faith that overcomes, that conquers the world. Has. John's thinking here, has overcome. It's been done. Faith is not looking for the victory. Faith has the victory. And faith, the character of faith is that it lives out of the victory. Not looking for it. We already have it. Do you? Thirdly and finally, the victory promised to faith. This is the fruit of faith. Victory, conquest, overcome. One and only way that a guilty man or woman can be reconciled to God from the sheer, absolute, sheer, free grace of God in Jesus Christ. And by that free grace, that is set before you even this evening, to enjoy peace with God and the peace of God. Eternal life, the assurance of. Heaven, when you close your eyes in death, not faced with the judge of all the earth, the dreadful, dreadful judge, but you open on the other side and welcomed by the Saviour into eternal glory. But to receive, to exercise this faith, well, it's a gift. It's the gift of God. It's all of God. It's all of gift. It's all of grace. It's all of his free grace. And his gifts are simply, what? Well, not to be worked for, not to be religious for. No religious hoops to jump through. Just come to me, says Jesus, without money, without price, the prophet says. You just come to me, says Jesus. I do the rest. I give you what's necessary. Just come to me. God doesn't treat us like stocks and blocks. He's made us rational creatures. Jonah, he's brought to a sense of need and he cries out to God and God delivers him. Hezekiah, the same, he cries out to God. That's all that you need is just a sense, maybe not a crisis like them, but just a sense of a need. I need to believe, I need to be saved, I need. And come, says Jesus. I read some while ago of a man who prayed thus. He was in an evening service like this. The gospel was preached, and on the way out, he shook hands with the minister at the door, And he said to the minister, he said, "Minister, tell me," he said, he said, he said, if I were to die tonight," he said, "do you think," he said, "I would be in heaven? Answer me," he said, "honestly." And the minister said to him, "No," he says, "I do not have that conviction." The man went home and he got on his knees and he prayed. And he prayed all night long, cried out to the Lord. And when the dawn broke in the morning, God came to him. He was born of God. He was given faith in Jesus. He believed and was saved. In the law of Moses, the father is the first one who is required to throw a stone at the profane son. You must be the first to throw a stone at your unbelief. "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Mark 9 verse 23, the man who comes to Jesus with an evil child full of evil, and he comes to Jesus and he asks for help. If he says, "You can do anything, if thou canst believe," says Jesus, "all things are possible to him that believeth." Let me paraphrase that. He's coming to the Son of God, the mighty Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's coming to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and he says to him, "Can you help us?" And in answer, Jesus is saying, in effect, he says, "Can I help you?" That's the wrong question. What's the right question? "Can you believe?" Lord, he cries, "I believe. Help my unbelief. Give me the faith that I need." To deny yourself, submit your mind, your thoughts, to the word of God as much as you're able, and to obedience. Do it as Mary tells the people at the wedding feast, pointing to our Son, our divine Son. She says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it." Consider your true state and agree with God. Your true state in sin. Cast away the filthy rags of your righteousness, because you've got nothing, nothing to offer God. Accuse yourselves. "It's just as you say, Lord. I was conceived, I was born in sin. I'm a sinner by nature and by practice. That's what I am. Save me." Let go of all human help, because there's no man, woman, child born into this world who can help you with this. Acknowledge the righteous justice of God. Get focused. The psalmist, Psalm 24 verse 7, he says, "One thing, singular, one thing," he says, "nothing else, one thing," he says, "I desire of the Lord." But he doesn't just sit there desiring. He says, "That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon his name while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will show mercy and abundantly pardon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you." Focused. Singularity. This one thing. Take the kingdom by violence. Don't take no for an answer. Sue him for what he sets before you. And when you believe, well, you'll know that you have new life. This new life will be yours. A new creature you will be in Christ. No longer of the world. In it, still in it, yes, but not of it anymore. All is forgiven. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Inseparable from the love of God. For time and for eternity. Not ruled by the world, but now ruling the world. In Christ you will be a prophet, a priest, and king. This is not a faith that withdraws into a monastery, hides itself away in some cloister. This is a faith that will take you into the world, to confront the world. It's a living, it's a powerful, it's a courageous faith. It works by love. It witnesses to and it testifies to that new birth that has happened and to the faith that has been received in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for sinners and rose again from the dead to justify them. It's a faith that cannot be silent. It testifies to Jesus. The love of Christ. The love of Christ in them constrains, even in the face of the world's hatred and violence. It's the power to conquer through Christ in Him, because all is from Him, and it's only in Him that you get the faith, that you get the repentance, that you get the life, that you get everything, all the blessings of God, they're in Christ. Believing into Him, you get everything from Him. But out of Him, you get nothing. You're left with the world. He gives the faith, and He sustains the faith that He gives to the end. So this struggle, this conflict, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The struggle, this conflict that we are in the midst of is we're talking about the salvation of your soul. We're talking about Christ and His eternal kingdom of love and grace. He has conquered. He has done the hard bit. He has come and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead. He's done the work, all the work that needs doing. And so for you, there's no work to be left to be done. It's not by works. Your works, your efforts. He's conquered. He's won the victory. He's overcome the world. And in Him, and through faith in Him, that victory, that conquest is ours. The power to overcome this evil, wicked world. He's Zion's King, the anointed of the Lord, chosen and anointed, Psalm 2. And soon the King is coming with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all that know not God. A loving relationship with Him as your Father and you as your child. To take vengeance upon all that know not God and that obey not the gospel, and to be glorified, and to be glorified in His saints and His people, in all who have been born of God and who have believed in Jesus, who have the victory, who have conquest over the world set before us. The gift of God, the grace, the free grace of God set before you, offered here to you this very evening. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. That's why they're still in trouble, they rejected Him. Came to His own, but His own received Him not, but to them who did receive Him. Received the gift of God, God's gift to the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He is God's love gift to this evil, evil, bad, wicked world. You take Him by faith, you take Him, you receive the gift. We've children here in our midst this evening. Ask any one of them, how do you receive a gift? How do you receive a gift? Somebody offers you a gift. How do you receive it? They'll tell you. You just reach out your hand and you take it, Mr. Preacher. Reach out the hand of faith. Take the gift of God as grace. Set before you tonight and walk in it. In the fear of the Lord. And you will have the victory. You will have then overcome the minute that you believe. You will have overcome this evil, wicked world with all its powers. Faith, even our faith, the victory that overcometh the world. May God grant you the grace, the help. Cry out to him like Jonah, like Israel. Cry out to him, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen. Let's sing as we come to a close then, shall we, this evening, hymn number 622. 622. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Thou none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in thee. Let's stand and sing hymn number 622.